through this message that he is about to speak to this church. Hallelujah. Acts 27. We're going to start at verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, and the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, and we let her drive. I love how this is phrased. Paul is, we're kind of jumping in right in the middle of the story. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirdings the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. Say they were driven by the wind. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, and the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Somebody say it's getting worse. Not only did we throw over everybody's luggage, but we threw over the steering wheel. We threw over everything that we could not get loose from the ship to make it lighter. Even parts of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Skipping down to verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in the storm of your life and caught yourself wishing for the day? I want to preach to you this morning just a little bit about the winds of revival. The winds of revival. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God, for what you've done in this church already today and over all of these years of blessings. God, but I feel as I preach this message here today, and I feel it, God, in my spirit and in my bones, that the wind of revival is blowing. God, and I pray that you would lead this man and this flesh, God, and let him speak your word the way that pleases you. Jesus, I pray that this congregation would receive this word and let it be a change in their life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you go down clapping to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, wind is a powerful, powerful force. We here in the United States understand the concept of hurricanes, especially this year. We've suffered four already, all very strong, all very powerful. When I say the United States, I'm including Puerto Rico, and they are just suffering under the pressure and under the damage that comes from high winds. And of course, we know the flooding. Winds can blow so strong that they can literally rearrange the landscape. If you go into the deserts, into the Sahara, and you try to mark your position by known sand dunes, you will be lost because they change every day. They move from here and they relocate to over there, and they move from there and they relocate over to here. I saw on the news this week, that England was actually covered with a yellow haze that was actually dust from the Sahara Desert in Africa. That far, the winds can take it. That far, it can drive it. That much difference the wind can make. Most of us here today have been through a hurricane and know what it feels like to have that little bit of fear grip your heart, or you've been caught in a windstorm, and you know, there's things that go on, and some of you can really relate to this story that I've read about this ship in the sea, and Brother George and some others were in the Navy, and you know what it's like to be caught in a storm in a boat and be tossed around by the waves and really be at the mercy of whatever's going to happen and whatever nature's going to do. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. And they knew even less then, and going under sail power or rowing, they decided that this wind is determined to tear us apart, and so we're going to just let it run. And they cut the ship loose and let the wind drive the ship. And the ship was pushed way off of the design course into a brand new place, into a whole new dimension and a whole new area that they never intended on going when they took off for Rome. Paul was a prisoner on this ship. He was basically going to be tried in the courts of Rome. And so he was not a man that was considered of great authority. Nobody really cared too much about what he said until the storm began to blow. And all of a sudden, when the storm began to blow, this man of God took authority, became a figure of authority, became someone of authority. And so the question came, and the normal way of doing things was to get into lifeboats and to try to escape because the ship is surely going to break up. Now, I can get that concept if the ship is going down, because you've got no choice. But to me, if the ship can't take it, the lifeboat can't take it. That's just my thinking. And if the big boat can't take it, I'm not getting in a little boat. But that was what they wanted to do. And of course, there's a lot involved here. I'm just making a little bit light of it. But Paul went out and said, an angel stood by me this night and said that if we stay with the ship, no one will be lost. If we stay in the ship, no one's going to be lost. Now, I could very easily drift off in that direction and preach the message about that, but I'm not going to do that today. The bottom line is they did stay with the ship. The bottom line is it did eventually ground itself. It broke up, and every one of them made it to shore where God wanted them to be ashore. It wasn't their plan. It was God's plan. Now, nobody in here likes wind like that. I talked a little bit this morning in Manahawkin about this, kind of a different direction, but I don't like the wind. I don't like to be pushed. I don't like to be resisted. If I want to go down the sidewalk, I want to go down the sidewalk. I don't want to have to fight elements to do it. It's just me. I'm just telling you how I am. I don't think I could make it in Chicago. Lord, please. Hallelujah. I'm very, very careful. Hallelujah. I don't want to try it because it's called the Windy City, and I don't like the wind. I like a nice breeze. But I don't like the wind. I don't like having a hard time getting my car door open. I don't like the doors slamming in the house. I don't, not because my wife is upset at me, but because the wind blew through the house. I got you. I just don't like the wind. And I really don't like it in my life. I don't like it when the wind blows. I don't like it when things come against my life and my family. I can get right belligerent. And I can, get indignant, and I can get just all fired up. But you know what the wind causes? Prayer. The wind begins to blow. How do you stop it? You can't find the source and cut it off. You don't even know where it's coming from. There are times we cause our own issues, but I'm going to talk today about issues that God allows. I'm going to talk today about the things that God allows to come into our life because maybe we've drifted off course, or maybe He just wants us to correct our course, and maybe He just wants to change our course. Paul was ready to go to witness for him in Rome. He was ready to go and meet the court and tell them about the name of Jesus Christ. And eventually he got there, but God had a little bit of a pit stop for him. God wanted him to reach an island. God wanted him to reach this far off place that nobody had any intention of going to. God allowed him to go through all of this turmoil and all of that strife and everything that happened in his life to bring revival to a people that were unreached. Revival comes behind the wind. In our life, in our church, in our ministry, in all that we are, the wind blows first, and then the answer comes. The wind blows sometimes hard against our life. It blows things into our life that we don't want. But while we're focused on that, and while we get on our knees and pray, and while we ask God to help me, God, because I don't know where this is coming from or where it's going. I don't understand the purpose of this. This does not make sense to me. And we get in a mode of prayer and fasting. While we're doing that, that wind is blowing things out of our life that don't belong there. It's blowing things away from us that we don't need. Amen. Like a giant fan that would just move papers across this auditorium. Things begin to come loose and come out of our life. And then God can bring revival. I promise you, revival is coming. I promise you, the wind you're feeling right now has revival right behind it. I promise you, the pressure that's come on your family is not for nothing, but is for revival. It is for revival. We live close enough to the water to understand that a strong wind makes waves. Now, what's the first thing they tell you when you get out there in the work world, you start a new job, you join the military? Don't make waves. Just float your boat. You know what I mean? Just cruise along nice and even. Somebody's going to jump in and make waves. Don't let it be you. And we're trying our best to just do our thing, man. We're just kind of going through life, living for God. And the wind starts. And the waves start. And the waves are tossing our boat this way and that way. Anybody else living like this right now? Yeah, I could make you do this the whole service, but you'd all be sick by the end. I'd be sick from watching you. That's how we feel. We're going back and forth and side to side and up and down. And you're just back and forth. And it's like, Lord, I just want this to level out. I want this to be steady. I want this to even out, God. I'm tired. They were tired. First thing they did was throw over all the baggage. We need to throw some baggage over. The wind gets to blowing. We need to throw some baggage over. Just, whew, man, that's what God does. You got too much junk in your life. You got too much mess in your mind. I'm going to blow this wind and just clean some of that out for you. I'm going to blow some of this out. You're too busy for me. I'm going to straighten things out a little bit. I want you to make heaven. I want you to make heaven. And so God brings a wind and it begins to blow and it begins to push and begin to feel some pressure. God doesn't do it to torture us. God does it to save us. You know, without the wind, Paul would have just gone to Rome. He would have done what he knew what he was to do, but a whole island would have been lost. Even the Apostle Paul didn't get a heads up that God was about to rearrange his life. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but when God is rearranging your life, just let him move the furniture. Let him shift around what he wants to shift. Because when he gets done, you're going to be better off. Let God do what God wants to do. Everything came out exactly the way Angel told Paul, and Paul told the rest. They all recognized where it came from. They knew they were in a storm, but they knew who their Savior was. You may be in a storm today, but you need to remember who your Savior is, and you need to recognize that He controls it. The devil don't control it. God just uses him to straighten things out. God is in control of our life. Without the wind, no revival, no change of course, no revival. I want revival. Pleasantville needs revival. Egg Harbor Township needs revival. Hamilton Township needs revival. Absecon, Northfield, Atlantic City, Summers Point, Galloway. I could go on. Linwood. It doesn't matter whether it's upper crust or lower crust. God don't see any of that. He sees lost people. He sees hurting souls. And he sees the need for revival. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears of these sayings and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Everything's the same. Nothing has changed in these two scriptures until this last phrase. And great was the fall of it. When you are built on the rock, you should never fear the wind. When you're built on the rock, we should never fear the rain. When we're built on the rock, we should never fear the floods. We know that we are built on the rock, Christ Jesus. Anybody here got a good foundation? Anybody here got a solid foundation? Anybody here know anything about the rock, Christ Jesus? When you build on Him and you build right, you will be all right. It's another way the wind helps us. Shows us exactly where we're anchored. The word says those who do His will and follow His word are like those who are built on the rock, the solid rock. The only foundation that holds up under the wind preceding revival. Revival's coming. Revival's here. There's something happening in the spirit world right here. God is doing something amazing right now. We know that if we are anchored in the rock, we are safe. But we need to know just as strong that if we are anchored in the sand, we are not. We are not. Now somebody says, well, that just doesn't seem fair. From the perspective of God and His goal to see you saved and blessed, it is absolutely not fair. What's fair? That Jesus came and died for us, gave us the opportunity to be able to live for Him, and we reject Him? So what's fair? What's fair is we should be lost. We say, well, that God, you're not being fair. I've lived for you, and I've done these things. Fair? What would be fair is if we all found a place in hell, because that is what we deserve. So we can't play the fair game with God. We can't grovel and complain and say, God, you're not fair. I know things don't look fair, and sometimes life is not fair, but I'm talking about God right now. God, this is not fair. You are not fair. God is absolutely not fair, and we should rejoice in that. Because God is not fair, He is gracious, He is full of mercy, He is full of blessing, He is full of power. Amen. He gives us what we need when we don't deserve it. He blesses us. He could just let us go ahead and live in our crummy house, built on the crummy sand. He could just let us go ahead and continue that way. But what does He do? He sends the wind. And the wind blows. How did we come to church? The wind blew us in here. I'll tell you how you came here. The wind blew you in here. The wind was blowing hard on your life. And you didn't know it was God. You didn't know God was behind it. You didn't know God was allowing it. But He blew you right in the back door. He blew you right into the altar. The wind blew. You know why? Because your house fell flat, and great was the fall of it. And we all came in here with a flattened out house and a flattened out life and a flattened out spirit and a flattened out mind. And we'd have never come to God had the wind not come and blew our crummy house down. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you really don't understand why these people are clapping. Because I just described a disaster. I did not describe a disaster. What I described was the beginning of a miracle. Because when everything falls flat, we start looking for a better place to build. I got to find something more solid. I got to find, this is not working. The drugs are not working. The alcohol is not working. The addictions are not working. That stuff over there, it's not working. Amen. That attitude is not getting me anywhere but misery. I got to find a rock. I got to find something solid to stand on. I got to find this Jesus. I got to find Jesus. He loves you so much, he'll blow your house down to save your life. When he does, don't build it in the sand. Don't build again in the sand. Because it's going to fall down again. Because nothing in this world stands. Nothing built in the sand will stand. He knows that Satan wishes to destroy you. And if you'll just let me have a little bit of fun, I made up my own little story. I stole most of it. But the big bad breath wolf, Satan will come and he will blow your house down. That's how he gets it done. God just watches. I'm going to let this happen because when this happens, they're going to run to me and I'm going to save them. And the three little Christians were having a hard time with the big bad breath wolf. And the first little Christian built his house of the straw of worldly wisdom. It was so much easier than doing it God's way. It was too much work involved to be in the right in the face of all the pressure of the world. So they decided to just build a quick house so that everybody could see that they were just fine. It came out some of the rain, and it was better than nothing. And everything seemed fine until the big bad breath wolf showed up at their door. Now the first little Christian knew we can't let the big bad breath wolf in. And so he said, no, go away, Satan, go away. But he did not go away. He huffed and he puffed and he blew his house down. So the little Christian squealed and he ran to the next little Christian's house. And the second little Christian, y'all just hang in there with me now, okay, because I'm going somewhere. The second little Christian had built his house out of sticks of rebellion. And he said, this is better than that way. And this is easier than God's way. And it is surely better than the world's way. I got enough of God to know how to kind of put this together. But I don't really want to do it God's way. And I don't really want to do it the world's way. So I'm going to move from the straw. And I'm going to stay away from the brick of the Word of God. And I'm going to build my little house out of sticks. And so the first little Christian ran to his house and they got inside and shut the door. And who was right behind them but the big bad breath wolf. And he knocked on the door of the second little Christian's house and he said, let me in. And they said, not by the hair of our chinny chin chin. I got a good memory. And so he huffed and he puffed and he blew their house in. And all of a sudden, that rebellion didn't hold up. And all of a sudden, that worldly wisdom was worthless. And so those two little Christians squealed, and they ran all the way to the third little Christian's house. Now, the third little Christian, he was different. He built a house out of the bricks that he got from the Word of God. He built his house in a place that had a solid foundation of nothing but rock. And everybody made fun of him while he was building his house because it took longer than everybody else's house. And it wasn't as easy to do as all the other places, and the worldly wisdom didn't apply to his plans, and rebellion had no place in. As a matter of fact, he had built a couple of rebellious walls, but God talked to him, and he went back and made the adjustments and tore them down and put some more time in, and he put some more prayer in, and he put a little more faithfulness in, and he built himself a solid house of bricks on the Word of God. And so the two little Christians ran to the door of the third little Christian and he knocked on the door and said, please let us in. And being the good Christian he was, he opened the door and let the other two Christians in. Shut the door. Right behind him comes old Bad Breath. And Bad Breath knocked on the door and he said, little Christians, let me in. But this little Christian had something called the Holy Ghost. And he didn't just say no, but he rebuked that bad breath wolf in Jesus' name. And that made the bad breath wolf really mad. Am I saying that right? Bad breath wolf. Yeah. He made him really mad. And so he began to huff and he began to puff and he began to blow and he began to scream and he began to yell and he just wore his ugly self right out because he couldn't budge the house that was built on the Word of God. Oh, if you're built in the right place and you're built out of the right stuff, the wind is not going to knock your house down. It's not going to push you over. It's not going to destroy you. Amen. It's going to be something of revival coming to your house. It's the sound of revival coming to your house. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. I, the Lord, am with you. God is with you today. Oh, a Holy Ghost revival fell that day. Little Christians all over the area heard of the delivering power of God and turned toward God with all their hearts. New construction began in little Christian homes all over the place. And the poor bad breath wolf soon found out his wind couldn't hold up against a house that's built on a rock. I can tell you right now, he's coming and he makes a lot of noise and he blows his nasty breath all over you. But if you're built on the rock, you're going to stand. If you're built on Jesus, your family's going to hold. Jesus. Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, we may not like the wind. We may not like the pressure. But the wind that precedes revival blows that stuff right out of our yard that we don't need. I remember when that derecho hit just a few years ago. Nobody knew it was coming. Everybody missed it. But it hit us. It hit us hard. It blew trees down all over. It blew things over that nobody had ever had blow over. I saw trees ripped up with root system as big as one of these sections of pews. Just tore them right out of the ground. Surprised everybody. I went out in the backyard. Storm woke me up. The lightning flashing woke me up. I went running out in the yard trying to figure out what in the world is going on. There was stuff going by me. Vroom, vroom. I got out in the front yard and everybody's from four houses down was coming my way. All my stuff was going down that way. Amen. I felt like I was just in just a hurricane of pool toys and debris and all kind of stuff is going by me. But you know what happens when God brings the wind? It may sneak up on us. It may surprise us when God allows it to blow, but it'll remove stuff that we don't need. It'll blow stuff right out of our yard that we don't want. A good strong wind will blow on us once in a while to keep us saved. And keep us on the right course. You see, windstorms cause prayer meetings, and prayer meetings cause revival, and revival causes victory, and victory causes hope for those who are still lost. This is not just for me, and it's not just for you. It's not just for the ministry or those that have been in the church for years, but this revival hope rings loud and clear for the neighborhood and all the surrounding area to hear that there is hope. There is a place to hide from the wind in the rock, Christ Jesus. When the Holy Ghost was first poured out in the upper room, it was accompanied by the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Don't fear when you hear the wind blow. Just know that a change is coming for the better. Don't be a little Christian that never learns from the falling of your house. Don't rebuild the same way you always have. It's not easier if you have to keep building it again. It may be faster today, but there's nothing like living in a solid house when the storm comes. I've lived in trailers. Some of you, maybe you live in trailers or did. That's not the best place to be when a hurricane's coming. You praying that those little strap hangers out there hold you down. But you get yourself on a good solid foundation. And you get yourself in a good solid house. And you don't have to fear when the wind comes. There's revival coming. I'm going to get personal. Some of us are dealing with things we don't understand. Some of us are feeling pressure we've never felt. We don't like it. We don't understand it. Just let the wind blow. Just let it blow. Because there's something coming behind it. I don't like this shift. I don't like what's happening in my family. I don't know where this illness came from. I don't know where this depression's coming from. I don't know where this oppression's coming from. I don't understand what's happening with my kids. I don't understand what's going on and why there's pressure and what's going on. And I just we can fret ourselves to death and worry ourselves and miss the whole point that God is bringing revival. God is bringing revival. I don't know what's happening in your life today. I can tell you this. I have been through some storms. I went through some storms that, in my opinion, was way too long. I'll be transparent enough to say this. I got sick of them. I didn't like them. It don't make any sense. Sometimes we do things that we cause storms. And we can kind of grasp that. But sometimes we didn't do anything that we know of. And man, that storm is just pouring it on. And God, what is going on? This does not make sense. Where is this wind coming from? The Bible says you don't know where it lists from. You don't know where it comes from. And you don't know where it's going, but it's blowing. And you're catching it. Feels like the pressure is so great. And it just pushes you and buffets you. And it goes on sometimes for years. But I'm reminded of the story. Because frankly, I've lived it. Of the disciples in the boat. And Jesus was asleep. And the storm came up suddenly for no reason, out of nowhere. And it began to pour into the waves, and the waves began to pour into the boat. And the boat began to fill, and it seemed like the boat was going to sink. And they began to bail, and they bailed, and they bailed, and they bailed. I'm going to tell you something. In our life, we bailed, and we bailed. And we bailed. And I had people helping me bail. And we invented machines that would bail for us. And we did everything we could to come up in our brains and our minds and even in our spirit how to fix this problem. And we went through everything we could go through. And we tried every single door that we could find. And we kicked some open that wouldn't open. And we barged through some maybe we shouldn't have. But we did am I anywhere in anybody's business right now? Because that's where we were. We tried so hard to get this fixed. We prayed. We fasted. And God would not stop the wind. We did this and we did that. Okay, God, if you're not going to answer, then I'm going to go try this. We never left God. We never left God. We never quit believing in God. But God must want us to try this because he's not shutting it off. And God must want us to try that because he didn't stop the wind. And it blew and it blew and it raged against our life and our family. And the pressure was so great. But Jesus stood up one day. Literally. One day out of 3.5 years of the hardest time in our life and simply said those words, peace, be still. Whew. There was no coming down. There was no drawn out, dragged out, 8-month recovery. It was just over. And I've prayed about this, and I've asked God, why did you let it go this long? Why did you let us go to this? Why did we have to try that? Why did we go all of these directions? And I believe he answered me this way, because I wanted you to know for sure I was the only one that could save the situation. We have something the world only dreams of. We have a God that can do miracles that get more done in one phrase from heaven than an army of counselors and $1 million could do in 100 years. I promise you, it's coming. It's coming. God, let us go through this so we could help you through yours. God has already brought people into our life that we can sit and talk to and minister to at a level that we could never do before, because now we understand. We understand what this storm thing is all about. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. You need to shake yourself of your doubt. You need to shake yourself off of your grief. You need to shake yourself and stir up your spirit and say, I am a child of God. I am full of the Holy Ghost. I am mounted to the rock, Christ Jesus. And the wind can blow as long as it wants, but I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. There's no hope in getting out of the ship. Don't go for a lifeboat. That's a trick of Satan. Stay in the ship of Zion. Stay solid on the rock, Christ Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. Could everybody in this place, would you close your eyes and just begin to talk to Jesus right now? I don't want anybody distracted. Our musicians are coming. I want us to begin to cry out to Jesus right now. God, I love you. Jesus, there are people in this church that have suffered loss, that have dealt with some things for some long, long periods of time. But I feel so strong in the Spirit. God is telling this church today, just hang on, the peace is coming. Hang on, the storm is almost over. And behind it becomes the greatest blessing you've ever seen in your life. Behind it comes revival for your family. Behind it comes a move of God that you have desired to see all of your life. Life Point Church, God is going to bring a great move of His Spirit. God is moving in this place. God will fill this place to overflowing. I feel like that wind and that pressure that we feel is blowing people right into the house of God. Oh, Jesus. There are people in this place that are hurting so bad right now. God, I pray that you would speak peace into their life. Fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Minister to their hearts today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As I begin to sing a song, why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come and pray? Why don't you come and give your burdens to Jesus Christ? If you've built on the sand, walk away from that pile of rubble and come and start a new house on Jesus Christ. Ask Him today to forgive you of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name today for the remission of those sins, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gives the utterance. This is the Word of